Welcome in to the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler alongside the queen of Atlanta sports radio, Sandra Golden, on this beautiful Wednesday morning in downtown Atlanta. That's right. Once again, we are at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days. And wow, what a week it's been in the city of Atlanta. Had a lot of fun watching the All-Star game down at Truist Park last night, Sandy. And today, we got a bunch of activity right here at Media Days, Alabama, Mississippi State, Florida, and Oklahoma on the schedule. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fabulous, and great to have you alongside. I liked your energy. You're trying to do the, and, like, it's hard to do because
yes.
Everybody's, we're on Radio Row, and
can't
everybody
scream it out
us.
Right here like we do yeah. In the studio acting like fools.
Right. We're on late a little. Thanks, y'all, because we wanted to make sure we got Tony Barnhart, the legend, in with the morning shift.
Mr. College Football.
Yeah. Drew got caught up in traffic, so he walked in
oh
here this morning.
Goodness.
Didn't you want to punch me right in the face? Because I was just, boom, boom, boom. Guess what? Did you hear this? And I know. I'm a lot.
No, because I woke up this morning excited and exuberant to be able to work with you. We don't work together enough. You look phenomenal.
Oh,
love your
sweet.
Outfit.
Thank
love the pictures you.
You
guys posted.
Thank you.
Yesterday as well. Steak, of course, on vacation. He's going to go see the baby Sophie overseas, so I'm sure he had an awesome week before he dipped out of town as well. But, man, it's been an unbelievable week in the city of Atlanta. How about the city just showing out last night for the MLB All-Star Game at Truist Park? I'm glad the weather held up. You know, I live a bit north, so we had some showers later on in the afternoon, but the scene looked incredible. Ludacris, Jermaine Dupri, Kane Brown, Zach Brown Band with the national anthem, the flyover, and then, of course, the drama late with the first ever swing off to decide the winner of the All-Star game. I loved it. We'll talk about it a bunch more in the next segment, but I thought Atlanta did a phenomenal job hosting the Midsummer Classic.
Multiple times during the evening, and I was there from start to finish. I think all of the Atlanta folks were. Chill bumps. I got emotional during the Hank era.
Oh, my man.
I mean, literally awesome. Started to tear up. I know y'all wanted to call me Freddie Freeman. And I was like, wow. By the way, the applause for Ronald Acuna made me have chill bumps. Way to go, Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I think it's Derek Schiller and his whole camp with Atlanta Braves. And I know MLB comes in and takes over. They at least do the ticket part of it. But the creative staff that put that together and the real flavor of the Dirty South, man, it's everything from Zach to Kane to Jermaine Dupri, and that's what we needed at the Super Bowl. I know you can't go back and change it, but that was as special as applause all the way around last night.
No question. I mean, John Smoltz himself even said after that Hank Aaron tribute, quote, that was one of the coolest things I have ever seen. That came across perfectly on television. If you were in the stadium, call in. Let us know what the atmosphere was like last night, because from a viewer spectator, it was awesome.
404-726-0929. And I call myself a busybody, Drew. Like, I try to find out all the stuff. What are y'all doing? What's going to be special? That did not get out. That Hank Aaron,
no,
7:15, to my knowledge, like, it was not whispered. And and you know that the other moment of the Stand Up to Cancer, I really think that is about as well done as you can do it. And then I was watching on TV, and those of y'all watching, you could see the in and the out was with the Jonas Brothers, who participated and
yes.
took care of. From start to finish, I can't remember watching an All-Star game like that.
Yeah. I did the exact same. Stayed up all the way.
The mic'd up
until
with
the
end.
Pitcher. So cool. Clayton
y'all,
Kershaw didn't you
love
talking
that?
With John Smoltz and the catcher connected up to the broadcasting booth. They did an awesome job. You mentioned Derek Schiller. Did you know this? Derek Schiller's dad, Harvey Schiller, was the SEC commissioner
yes.
in 1986.
Yes.
You're sitting here at SEC Media Day. So congrats to Derek Schiller and everybody at the Atlanta Braves for hosting the All-Star game. It tied 6-6. National League was up 6-0 after six innings. And then it went into that swing off. Kyle Schwarber shows out. He ends up getting the MVP, correct?
We had to cheer for Philly, and that's upsetting. But
I know.
Listen, we're going to get into more of the swing off, because if Major League Baseball doesn't wake up this morning and go, huh, that's a great idea.
Exactly.
For sure. And I had a tweet last night that I think it has over 9,000 views at this point.
Okay.
Where I had the audacity. I don't even think it's the audacity. It's how I really feel. Freddie Freeman never should be a L.A. Dodger, period. And there was half the camp that was right. You're 100% right.
I mean, he teared up last night.
Again, y'all, we're going to play it for you.
Again. He did it.
He loves it here.
He does.
But it's egos got involved on both sides. But, I mean, I'm not making some massive statement line in the sand. I'm saying my true feelings are he never should have left. Because it wasn't that big a difference in money. It's not. So that made a big deal. I'm talking about the headlines now because I know we got to fly to a break. But what jumped out at you yesterday from Kirby and Gunner, who I'm not sure that Gunner wasn't an AI because he said absolutely nothing. And by the way, Georgia fans, that's the greatest compliment I can give y'all, that he didn't say boo.
No question. I think Coach Kirby's smart. Whenever he comes to SEC Media Day, he has a message that he wants to get across. One, to everybody here, the media. Two, to his team. And three, to really the Georgia fan base. And yesterday, he kind of stole the show with the tagline of relationships over transactions. That's what we build this football program on. In this new era of college football, that's what we pride ourselves on, because we know that's what's going to allow us to continue playing for national championships. Relationships over transactions, and then fire, passion, and energy. We want football players, right? We don't want guys who just want to come get a bag of money. We want people who want to get hardly coached, they want to be developed, and they want to put their hand on the pile to win a lot of football games. So I thought Kirby Smart once again came in, delivered a perfect message to kind of take this football team into training camp. And when it comes to Gunnar Stockton, you know, the jury is still out. They have not named him the starter. He knows that. The coaching staff knows that. I think the fan base should understand that. I'll be really interested to see how the storylines progress throughout training camp, how Ryan Puglisi, the assumed backup, looks throughout training camp as well. But here's where Kirby loves the personality of Gunnar Stockton. Probably reminds him a lot of Stetson Bennett, right? A Georgia guy at heart. Jake Fromm as well, a Warner Robins guy. Gunner's from up north in Tiger, Georgia. Stetson was from down southwest in Blackshear, Georgia. These are the guys that get it. They work hard. They're going to respect leadership. They're going to command the attention of their teammates. Kirby knows that he'll be able to coach him much differently than he had to coach Carson Beck over the last few years.
Expand on that, because you were talking about the coddling of Carson.
Yeah. There was a huge coddling of Carson. In the media specifically, when Carson Beck went through his rut last year, throwing interceptions what seemed like every other drive, if you would have put Stetson Bennett in that situation on the field when Kirby was his coach, Kirby would have shot him into the atmosphere. He would have ripped him off the field. He would have chewed him out on the sideline. For some reason, you never saw that with Carson Beck. I think Kirby knew that he had to manage Carson differently. Carson obviously talked to the media differently as well. You never heard Kirby really question what Carson was doing on the field. I'm not saying that he should have. This is your starting quarterback, and maybe he knew Gunner was not ready to be able to step in and perform at the level that they wanted during the middle of the season. But you look at how Kirby managed a Jake Fromm, a Stetson Bennett, and then it was different with Carson. I think he's going to be back with Gunner Stockton to the way he managed those guys like Fromm, like Stetson, and really kind of hold their feet to the fire to have that standard so high. So I look forward to it, whether it is Gunner or Ryan Puglisi, but it just made me think of the juxtaposition, what Carson was, how Carson was coached the past 2 years.
I'm actually shocked that you're making this a topic, because you know somebody's going to hear this and go, there's a quarterback competition. Because I really felt like that's why they brought Gunner.
Yeah.
So they don't want to deal with that. So I know you're into the wagering. You're very good at it. By the way, did you take the over last night?
I did not.
So Steak, if you were listening yesterday, Steak's in Barcelona right now. Can't wait to see him doing the salsa dancing. He said the number was 7.
That's right.
To take the over, and it, of course, came in.
It was 6-0 in the sixth inning, and then, of course, it finished up 6-6.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You didn't do it, though.
I did not do
so
it.
So if you had, I'm not even going to make it a lot of money, $100 on who's the starting quarterback.
Oh, Gunner Stockton.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I would say Gunner Stockton.
Okay.
We'll see.
Oh, my God.
We'll
Why
see.
Are you doing this to
Why
me?
Why are we doing shocked. This? We are live at SEC Media Days right here at the College Football Hall of Fame. Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer on the podium right now. I'm staring at Paul Feinbaum's shiny bald head below us on the SEC Network set. It's the Steakhouse on a Wednesday. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Schwarber in the air. to center field, headed towards the wall, and dead center.
That's huge for the National League. They're within one. So there you go. He said if he could get it on his first swing, and he did.
MVP material if he gets the third one right here.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing.
Oh. With the hat trick. Look out, Chop House. National League takes the lead 4-3.
Great scenes from the swing-off last night at the 2025 MLB All-Star Game right here in Atlanta at Truist Park. The first ever swing-off, and if you were rooting for the National League, you had to root for a Philadelphia Philly. Kyle Schwarber putting on a show, three home runs.
I could be here all day.
On three swings. 9:25 a.m. on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Drew Butler alongside Sandra Golden right here on the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game live at the College Football Hall of Fame. 2025 SEC Media Days. Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head coach, on the podium right now. Yes, we will discuss plenty of college football topics. Georgia was here yesterday. Florida will be here later on this afternoon. But, Sandy, we got to recap what went down at Truist Park last night, because I thought, sitting from my couch, both Monday night, the Home Run Derby, and last night for the actual All-Star Game, Atlanta really showed out. They did a phenomenal job hosting the Midsummer Classic. From Kane Brown, Ludacris, Jermaine Dupri kicking things off, Zach Brown with the national anthem, Freddie Freeman tearing up again. I mean, it was awesome. The Hank Aaron tribute, John Smoltz said it, one of the coolest things he's ever seen in his life.
A-plus. It was an absolute A-plus night for Atlanta and the Braves and Major League Baseball. You got it right. The more access to those players. I mean, I know another handful of players by name and what they look like.
Yeah.
I loved the uniforms. Right?
Yes.
Like, please bring back their uniforms. We were screaming for that. But I'm very serious when I say that swing off.
So
you want
cool.
to talk about the younger audience being now involved. What is so crazy that if we said, if you're tied after nine, let's have a swing off?
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, because, I mean, you could easily replace that in some instances with whatever they're doing now. You put the runner on second. You know, that could still be confusing to some viewers. The swing-off is not confusing. It's extremely exciting. I was a bit miffed as to why Aaron Boone selected the players that he
yeah.
didn't. You said you were hearing that some
so
players
a lot,
were leaving.
Not some. A lot of players left, y'all, because they were catching flights, which I totally
yeah,
get.
I mean,
now, it's
11-something,
right?
Right? You get a week off. Yes,
yeah.
It was late. I mean, that thing started probably at about 11:25 p.m.
That's
last
right.
night.
So I get it. And according to people behind the scenes, said a lot of players were gone. Now, I didn't see that on the field or anything, and I don't know that for a fact, but I do get that part. Also, like, okay, Dave Roberts, there's Matt Olson, but
I know.
Maybe because they were in the Home Run Derby, they didn't.
Maybe
it's like, let's not try to do this to them again. But Kyle Schwarber, and there
oh,
I am cheering
goodness.
For Kyle Schwarber. What is wrong with me?
And then Pete Alonso didn't even have to go. He was in the three
yeah.
spot for the National League. Of course, the Polar Bear up there playing for the New York Mets. So,
real quick,
Dave Roberts,
Acuna 1-for-2. He had a single. Matt Olson 0-for-1. But we're not talking enough about the ninth inning stab and grab.
Huge
Matt Olson saved
Olson.
A run in the top of the ninth.
Absolutely. Game would have been over.
There
or NL would have had to score again
yeah.
to push it into the swing off. So a great defensive play. He flashed the glove there to save a run. Matt Olson did. But 0-for-1 in his limited time in the lineup. Dave Roberts, the NL manager, selects three NL East players for the swing-off. It was, what, a Marlin, the young
yep,
kid
yep.
from the Marlins, and then Schwarber and Pete Alonso. I mean, I saw some immediate reaction on social media as to people going, well, how on earth could you do this and not mandate Aaron Judge to be in there for the AL and Shohei Ohtani
yeah.
to be in there for the National League? But to your point, I mean, these guys have plans. They got to get back to their families. Of course, Major League Baseball starts up again this Friday. The Braves will be hosting the New York Yankees here at the Battery in Truist Park. So a lot of festivities continuing on right here in Atlanta. That should be a great series. I hope the Braves
show up. Not only that,
up.
Because this is another moment for me to say I'm so happy for Max Fried. I got to know him a few times, just interview-wise,
yeah.
and he's a Jewish young man, and he's just terrific. That has nothing to do with anything other than I like him a lot. But he stood, y'all, yesterday outside that red carpet for over 40 minutes, wow, signing every single autograph. He went down a lot, as far as you could see doing it, because that's just the guy that he is. We know he's pitching. He'll pitch against the Braves.
Very cool.
I don't know who's pitching for the Braves coming up this weekend. It doesn't have a name listed. So Junior Richey or J.R. Richey got the call up to Gwinnett.
Saw that.
So keep your eye on that. So
will Max Fried cry on the pitcher's mound before his
he
first
pitch? He will not.
Pitch? Okay.
Let me tell you what he's not going to do is cry. That.
Okay, so Freddie Freeman
I know
last
you in state
night.
Hate Freddie Freeman crying.
Okay, Freddie Freeman last night. What's the old saying? No crying on the yacht,
yeah,
right? Like, you know, I'll give Fox a bunch of credit. I thought Fox's broadcast of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was phenomenal. I'm a huge Joe Davis fan. John Smoltz, obviously awesome. Love Kevin Burkhardt being down there on the field. Awesome. And they really did a good job, to your point, Sandra, of getting to talk to these players, let the personality show, have some real-life conversations with them. So they went down to Freddie Freeman before the game started.
Mm-hmm. It was the first interview.
First interview, and Freddie Freeman.
By the way, the ovation for Freddie was as loud as Ronald Acuna.
Of course it was.
It just was.
But
why
the guy
does that
starts
you?
Tearing up
But why does
again,
that bother you so much?
Because you left us. You left the Atlanta Braves. You took gobsmacking amounts of money. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. Do not cry in your Wheaties when you come back to Atlanta and you're wearing a Dodgers hat and you've got another World Series championship. That, to me, just rubs me the wrong way because it's like, when is it going to end? He's going to do it every single time. Freddie Freeman is a very wealthy, very good baseball player, but he's also
a crybaby. Hold on a minute.
He's a
crybaby. Did you hear John Gordon talk about money doesn't equal value, money doesn't equal life? He has a nice contract, so let's just play it. And I think there's a ton of people in your camp, and there's a ton of people in my camp of let the men cry.
Let's hear Freddie.
In fact,
Freeman.
I pride myself on I can make a man cry. Here's Freddie with Ken Rosenthal.
I could be here all day talking to these fans. You guys mean, yeah. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. My first 12 years, I got to spend in this wonderful city. So you guys gave me standing ovations when I've come back. You guys cheered for me, watched me before I became a father and a husband, and now back here as a husband and father with three awesome boys. So thank you guys for everything, and hopefully I can get another hit for you guys tonight.
Good for Freddie Freeman. What were you saying? Money can't buy happiness?
True.
I've never heard a poor person say that. So let's give Freddie Freeman another round of applause. I appreciate you, Freddie Freeman. Thanks for everything you did for the city of Atlanta. But we need to move past the tears.
I've moved past it, and you guys are missing the point. And Matt Olson is as good as it gets. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if we were on the playground this morning and you get to pick first and Matt and Freddie are standing there, who you picking?
Freddie Freeman.
Enough said.
Yeah.
Enough said. 100%.
Absolutely.
So, hold on a second. I felt like the what he meant to Atlanta, the World Series,
yes,
the final out. I mean, that's he's gonna be in the whatever the Braves Hall of Fame. His number's gonna be
of
retired.
Course.
His contract's up in 2 years. It wouldn't surprise me if he's back. Okay, all of that.
I would love that.
Two things can be true, though.
Yes, two things can definitely be true. And yes, we're having fun and being,
yes,
a little tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
But I certainly understand the ties that he has here from a family perspective. His wife's from here.
Yes.
His son was born,
yep,
here.
Mm-hmm.
Now everything that they've been through, and thankfully they're on the other side of that, every right to be emotional,
yeah,
in that scene, too. So I'm sure he had a great time back here in Atlanta. Of course, he played well also. So shout out to Freddie Freeman.
Bo, our resident Braves beat reporter / bartender, is telling me that Max Fried left his game on Saturday with a blister. So he might not be pitching.
Wow.
So thank you for that, Bo. Max Fried is awesome. I just thought, again, to put a bow on that.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous night in Atlanta.
So cool.
The moment where, if you didn't get chills, when Kane Brown began to sing Georgia on My Mind and what was happening in those stands.
So cool. So cool.
Crank that up, ladies.
Yeah, he did a great
crank
job.
It up,
and
ladies.
You said,
I want to make Drew cry this morning. It's going to be my honor.
Just an old sweet song.
Oh, yeah.
Kane Brown doing an awesome
Georgia
job.
On my mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, in your car, pull over and wave your hands. Wave your hands out front. Well done, Georgia.
Yes, very, very
I hope
well
I can
done.
Get to see another one in my lifetime in Atlanta, because it may be like 35 years, 30, you know, you never know.
So. They did good enough to where they might be able to bring it back sooner than that. And the Hank Aaron tribute, which was kept extremely under wraps as well. Simply phenomenal. Came across so well on the television broadcast. So congratulations to everybody for getting things off without a hitch. Shout out to Atlanta, to the Braves, to Major League Baseball for putting on an amazing Midsummer Classic right here in our backyard. Kalen DeBoer still on the podium here at SEC Media Days. Head coach of Alabama. Mississippi State is up after him. Florida and Oklahoma this afternoon. When we come back from the break, we're going to break down everything that happened yesterday. Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs were here. CJ Allen, Gunnar Stockton, Dalen Everett. The storylines are fast and furious as SEC Media Days kicks off talk-in season. The college football season, Sandra, is just a couple of short weeks away. I cannot wait. That's it right after the break. Drew Butler and Sandra Golden. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 929 The Game. Keeps Georgia on my mind. .940 This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden, live at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia, at SEC Media Days.
It seems like a lot of people recognize you around here, these parts.
Yeah, I know quite a few people here. Some guys I played with, some guys I played against, some people I've worked with.
Yep.
And I used to do a show here inside the College Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
Called Campus Lore Live. So yeah. We used to have little studio setups all over this place. We'd come do it on Monday night. So I know Kimberly Bowden, the CEO, who we had on Monday morning, Steak and I did right here.
Yep.
On the Steakhouse. But yeah, great seeing everybody. Greg McElroy over here. I've played golf with Greg before. Great guy. Cole Kubelik, Josh Pate down the other way.
Yeah.
So there's just a bunch of people here. Over 1,200 credentialed media members. And you said it. I'll also say it. Pretty surprised at looking at Kalen DeBoer in person. He looks better than I thought.
He looks better than I thought.
I was like,
he's
okay.
He's Kalen DeHot is what he is. I'm telling you right now.
He walked right by us. I mean, he's
Y'all,
a taller
I was like,
guy.
Who is that?
He's tan. I mean, I could never achieve
that. I would
that
tell
type
his stylist to let's start, you know, getting some lemon of the Lulu in the action.
Yeah.
And maybe get a medium, not that large, because the recruits and mama's going to like that. That's
there
all
you
I'm
go.
Saying.
There you go. So Kalen DeBoer here. He just got off the podium. Now the Alabama players are down on the Peach Bowl field right here talking with media members. Mississippi State will be up next. But yesterday was a huge day.
Wait, you we got to talk about, since we're doing Kalen, we got to talk about y'all this morning.
Yes, please.
Okay, so
please.
Kalen sat down with the morning shift, and Bo, who is on it, it was like, hey, tell us about Michael Penix. And y'all, sit back, Falcon fans, turn up your radio. You're going to love this.
You just said something about me making him. He made me, too. You know, I mean, together we did it. You know, some amazing things. And I just saw him a couple weeks ago. There's a lot of players that are super special to you. But because of his journey and what we accomplished together and his faith and confidence to come up to Washington at the time when, you know, maybe staying close to home and, you know, the career kind of going a certain direction at that point. Just meant so much. And so, yeah, he actually came over a couple weeks ago, spent the night at the house, and you know, we had dinner with a bunch of the others that he knows well that came down from Washington too. So I'm super excited about what this next year is for him. You know, when he gets comfortable and familiar with an offense, those tools that he has will take over. And so I'm excited for this next round.
A great cut there from Kalen DeBoer, Alabama's head football coach, who, of course, was Washington's head football coach, where Michael Penix Jr. took the Huskies to a national championship game. And also, he was at Indiana with Michael Penix Jr. So he has known Michael Penix for a very, very long time. I'm sure their mutual respect for one another is extremely high, as you just heard Kalen DeBoer discussing right there. But that leads into the bigger talking point of what the expectations are for Michael Penix Jr. this season as the starter of the Atlanta Falcons. And I was listening to Steak and our producer Bo Johnson getting into it, as Bo was on his show Sunday night saying, hey, we just don't know. And of course, we all know Steak likes to look at things through that lens as well.
He likes to look through the gambling lens.
No. That's right. And look, Penix Jr. had three games at the end of last season, and the argument was easily made and could still be easily made that he should have gotten the ball a lot sooner when things were going awry for Kirk Cousins. But to me, Sandra, when you watch Michael Penix, how he processes information, how he goes through his reads, how he manages things pre-snap, and then most importantly, how he throws the football, I think the Falcons are in pretty good hands.
Not only that, the behind the scenes are, and you just heard Kalen talk about when he gets that playbook and his confidence, he doesn't have those happy feet. He is calm, yeah. Cool, and collected. He is very settled in the huddle from what I hear. He has it. He owns it. You know, and some quarterbacks don't own that huddle as we're watching quarterback right now. So, but I thought a lot, and maybe this is a weird transition, but I was listening to Arch Manning yesterday. We don't know anything about him either,
no,
by the way.
No,
he's played in a dozen games, and half of them didn't matter nothing.
And he actually said that himself. He said, I have not earned this, talking about kind of the media circus that was following him yesterday. I mean, Paul Feinbaum almost fell out of his chair trying to give Arch Manning a handshake as he was walking by.
And I wasn't sure what you were going to say. I'm glad you said handshake. I wasn't sure.
Yes,
where
indeed.
You're going with that.
Yes, indeed. So a lot of attention, and rightfully so, that Kalen DeBoer is giving to Michael Penix Jr., who will be the Falcons' starting quarterback this year. But this latest NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons selected. They got back into the first round at the end of the first round and selected James Pierce Jr.
Some say gave up too much, i.e. a first rounder for next year.
I would not be in that camp. I think they did the right thing to address the pass rushing issue. James Pierce Jr., edge rusher out of Tennessee, and one of his former teammates was here yesterday, Bryson Eason, a current defensive tackle at Tennessee. He was asked about James Pierce Jr., and this is what he had to say.
Man, somebody who is going to disrupt the edge and disrupt the quarterback. He's got a lightning speed, get off, real physical, not afraid to put his head in them trenches, you know what I'm saying? Has a huge bag when it comes to like pass rush moves, and a great locker room guy. There's been a lot of rumors that I've seen about my guy James Pierce, but he's a great dude, great guy, you know what I'm saying? Very passionate about the game, loves the game to a T. Very smart when it comes to the game, you know what I'm saying? So he's going to be a true professional and a true game wrecker when his time comes, and I know it's coming soon. I'm expecting for him to make a huge impact his rookie year and get some sacks and get some TFLs and just be a huge guy to help Atlanta Falcons have a winning season.
Music to my ears. That is exactly what every Atlanta Falcons fan has wanted. Bryson Eason just set the expectation, and Pierce Jr. being alongside Jalen Walker, those two guys being able to push and develop one another, that right there is what will make the difference in terms of those two rookies having an immediate impact. That is huge flowers from Bryson Eason right there.
Game wrecker, lightning get off. He worked beside him every day.
Quote, has a huge bag with pass rushing moves.
Love it.
Love that.
So, I don't know if you guys I watched a ton of SEC Media Day yesterday. Just I kind of had it on the background,
right.
Drew. But Kirby was asked about Jalen Walker on multiple accounts. And his words are, because they're like, who's replacing that guy? He goes, you can't replace a Jalen Walker.
100%.
And he goes, what he's about to do with the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL. And, you know, Kirby really kind of doesn't go on. He doesn't want to even set up the kids to you know, not do well.
Right.
But I was like, y'all, if we got James Pierce and Jalen Walker right, and Michael Penix is the guy.
All right, now you're getting ahead of your skis, Sandra. Now you're getting ahead of your skis.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's going to be a fun,
we're going to make something
season.
Called, y'all, there's something called the playoffs, and we might be in it.
Just win more than 8 games, please. Let's get a winning record.
So, you know, I'm going
year.
To Vegas in 2 weeks.
I will be there in 4 weeks. What are you doing in Las Vegas?
Name that Vegas. Oh, sorry. Do you really want to know?
I do want to know.
So, Jackie, your wife, is going to call me and want to go with.
Uh-oh.
Backstreet Boys at the
Sphere. Oh, there you go. I've been seeing those videos. It looks pretty awesome.
Kelly Clarkson at MGM, the residency.
Sweet.
So, yeah. So, anyway, sidebar. But I did think about it. I told my husband, I go, we've taken the over on the Falcons each year, and it was 8.5 last year.
Okay.
But we drink this Kool-Aid, y'all. I mean, and then I listen to people. Vegas has us at 7.5.
I know.
I'm going to cry. I'm totally going to cry for
sure. Georgia's at 9.5.
That was
heavily juiced to the over, but yes, you know, overpays like -160, so you got to put a lot out there to get something back. But Georgia, right now, they're
by the way, Greg McElroy,
9.5.
I'm looking over your shoulder at Greg McElroy, who was on TV yesterday approximately 96 hours, but that was one of the subjects he was on with Jordan, and then 9.5. Take the over.
Greg said
that. Greg said take
the over.
And
Jordan Rogers also threw a bunch of flowers at Gunnar Stockton
yes.
as well. He's kind of been one of the media members that went out on a limb to say Gunnar Stockton is the right guy to lead Georgia's offense. I did an interview yesterday, and they were asking about what will be different this year in terms of Georgia's offense. Obviously, a lot of unknowns at the quarterback position. I said Georgia and the coaching staff specifically, they made hires to definitely address what went wrong in the run game a year ago. The offensive line play was a bit inconsistent. Of course, the running back room was decimated by injuries, but knowing maybe some of Gunner's liabilities, they're going to put a huge emphasis on making sure the run game is good, and I expect a guy like Oscar Delp to have a big season as well as that tight end security blanket for a young quarterback.
What are the liabilities for Gunner as you sit here on June the 16th?
I mean, inexperience is obviously one of them. I want to know what his arm strength is. Mm-hmm. Can he push the ball down the field? Can he fit it into tight windows? You know, he did what he had to do in the second half of the SEC championship game a year ago, and I said this on Monday. Georgia fans, your perspective on what success is needs to be rethinked, because if you ask a lot of them, they'd say last year was a disappointment. You were the SEC champions.
Right.
You won the conference. You beat Texas twice. Of course, a disastrous end of the first half, start of the second half in the Sugar Bowl. You give up 17 points in 54 seconds to Notre Dame. You're never going to come back from that. But I'll be interested to see how Gunner can throw the football on the route tree. Nobody's seen it. I do know Puglisi has a big arm. I just don't know if he's got that experience either. So a lot to be said during training camp for sure.
The personality that is Gunnar Stockton, and obviously Rusty knows all the ins and outs, but he's the one who says he is the dog out there. Like, this golly gee whiz. Now, I'm not going to say much.
Okay.
I'm going to have some dimples and say all the right things.
Oh, lead by example.
He's not that guy on. By the way, that's Mark Richt 101, and you would know better than anybody.
Absolutely.
Mark Richt, in, he was Bible in hand, but when he got out there on the field, it was game on. It was game face.
Here's the key for Gunner, and if the teammates are saying that, that's ultra important, because you just don't want to be seeming fake to your teammates, especially in the media.
No, that's a
if
good
he
point.
Is a dog and those guys know what to expect during practice, throughout the week, in the meeting rooms, and then, of course, on game day, he has set that expectation. And if he gains the trust of his teammates to be that type of guy in the heat of battle, but then they know they can be honest with him and he won't run to the media and be a different person, that is totally fine by me.
That's funny that you say that, because I was thinking about even the personalities of quarterbacks at Georgia since I can remember. The David Green, the Aaron Murray, the Jake Fromm, the Stetson Bennett, the Gunnar Stockton. They are more alike than Carson was.
Carson was stuck out like a sore thumb.
I know, but I'm not even knocking Carson, because sometimes you do need a little edge around
the place. I know. You're a Florida girl, and I think this is the rub right here. Carson Beck did not vibe with the Georgia fan base at all. It's just as simple as that. The tattoos, the Lamborghini, he's from Florida.
Right.
He's in week 12 saying, I don't watch football games because it gives me anxiety. You can't say that as the quarterback of Georgia football. Everybody's like, what?
I gotcha.
What did you just say?
Yeah, I
Georgia
gotcha.
Fans live and breathe football. That, of course, is not what they want their starting quarterback to say when he's throwing three interceptions week in and week out. Gunnar Stockton is one of Georgia's people. That's just how it is, and I'll be really interested to see how the fan base really gets attracted to him throughout the season.
You like this Ryan Puglisi, though. Somebody listening is going to get on those game day dog boards and bark up a tree, get it, bark, and say, Drew Butler said there's going to be a quarterback controversy.
I have no idea, but I'm excited to see what storylines come out, because Kirby Smart wants that competition as well. There's no doubt about it. That's what he's built this program on. Here at SEC Media Days, fire, passion, energy. Right. We value relationships over transactions. That phrase right there, relationships over transactions, is something that will be repeated, put on poster boards, maybe even up on billboards to say, this is how Georgia's different. And I mentioned this to Rusty and Stake on Monday. The benefit of Kirby Smart being able to say that, Sandra, is he actually has the playbook as to how it plays
out. Exactly.
You're not walking into a parent's living room or speaking with a potential recruit and just talking the talk. You're out there saying, if you do this, these things will happen.
Yeah.
And that's why Nick Saban was so successful for such a long time at Alabama. So he laid down the law yesterday. I thought he did a phenomenal job. And Alabama trying to do the same right now, right behind us at the College Football Hall of Fame as we broadcast live from SEC Media Days.
There was a moment later in the day when Texas rolled through here, and they have a safety. His name is Mookie Taff. Very, very eloquent young man, and I will not need to remind anybody that Georgia took care of Texas and patted him on the head and said, y'all are adorable. And now we kind of get the perspective of this young man. I hope some, I'm sure Rusty sent this immediately to Kirby, because this has got to be a moment of like, yeah, this is who we are. This is Mookie Taff talking about Kirby Smart.
Coach Smart is one of the most competitive coaches I've ever been against in my life. Like, physically hearing him on the sideline when I'm playing defense, I'm like, who is this maniac? And it's their head coach trying to, you know, get a call or get something in. And I think, you know, the team is embodied by the head coach, and he does a great job of embodying what their team is all about. And I think, to be honest, they out-physicaled us in that first game, and so we got to come with physical nature and a sense of pride, and knowing that, you know, if we want to get to where we want to go in December, then we got to beat those guys.
I'm not sure if head coach Steve Sarkisian will appreciate one of his players admitting defeat like that. We got out
shocked.
Physical.
I was shocked he said it.
I love that. I love it. And he but also said Kirby Smart is a maniac.
He's a maniac.
I think most people could agree with.
Who is this guy screaming? It is true, though, but, you know, I believe in the come to Jesus moment. If you say it out loud, like, we got to look at ourselves in the mirrors. We got out physical to every part of the game. Steve Sarkisian did not have a great day yesterday, and it began when he was introduced at the podium, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. I got a little nugget of something that happened.
How about that?
But this Scottie Scheffler story, Drew Butler, is something I want to talk about with you.
Yeah, going to be awesome. The Open Championship starts in the wee hours of the night tonight in Northern Ireland at Royal Portrush Golf Club. And Scottie Scheffler, the world number one golfer, faced the media yesterday, and he held court. Sandra and I are going to break it down right after the break. That was the tailgate presented by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. When we come back at the 10 o'clock hour, yeah, we'll go into the world of golf, and we'll touch on some other college football headlines.
And I think a lot of dads, and really not even dads, moms, dads, priorities in life of, so what, you won the Masters. I think that's true. It's good. It's really good.
It's awesome.
We're going to make you cry in your car. You're welcome.
There you go. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Wednesday. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden on the scene, the College Football Hall of Fame right here in downtown Atlanta at SEC Media Days. To our left, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. To our right, ESPN's Dusty Dvorak. I mean, there are people all over the place. It is a beautiful Wednesday indeed.
Well done to the SEC, too. This is what we always brag about, it being here, the College Football Hall of Fame. Tons of fans are out front. If you got your kids at home and you just wanted to come, it doesn't cost a dime.
Yeah.
You can stand in the lobby.
Get some
autographs. You can get autographs, picture moments, and then maybe go grab a lunch at Chick-fil-A or wherever you want to go. I think it's a cool thing for folks to see kind of what we do and what maybe not. I'd probably exaggerating how great it is, but I love it.
No, it's awesome.
Scene.
Speaking of kids, we have a big day tomorrow, Sandra.
Oh, God.
The Butler family has a big day tomorrow. Our sweet 5-year-old Kara, she's getting her tonsils and adenoids taken out in the morning. Yeah.
Aww.
So we'll be at Showa, Scottish Rite. She's going to do awesome. We're getting it done before the school year starts, so shout out to my sweet little Kara. She's going to do great tomorrow.
She's the oldest?
She's the middle.
She's the middle.
Bridget
she's
is seven, Kara is five, and Olivia our little pistol. She's 2.5.
That's amazing. Well, thoughts and prayers with that. I know that's scary for any of your kids to go under.
She's
going to
do fantastic. So we'll be
ice cream
popsicles and ice cream
yeah.
for about 7 to 10 days. So Daddy will pack on the pounds, and Kara will definitely be able to recover. So,
you're looking good. Yes. How often are you golfing now?
You know, golf has definitely, you know, in the summertime right now specifically, a lot of the courses in the Atlanta area, they aerate and punch their greens. It's also very, very hot. So some courses kind of shut down, you know, maybe a late 9 here or there. But I've been trying to stay on the Peloton, do a little bit of kettlebells. Speaking of that, though, of golf and family stuff, I said it on Monday. The Atlanta Athletic Club in Johns Creek is hosting a national championship. The U.S. Girls Junior Amateur is going on right now. Today starts match play. These are 70 now. It started at 144. 70 of the best junior girls golfers in the world, Sandra. Free
That's
to go
so
watch.
Great.
It is a USGA championship right there at the Atlanta Athletic Club. So go down there and check it out. I've got some of the members who are on the course texting us that they're loving you and I on the
oh,
broadcast right
that's
now.
So sweet.
And me and Migo Umberto, he's driving down to Sea Island with his son Trey. He just texted us and said that we are preaching on. So thanks to everybody for
that
listening.
That is so
thanks
kind. I love working
words.
With you. And y'all, we have a big steakhouse night out at a steakhouse because I don't know if you saw his post yesterday, but congratulations to you as part of the team. Really good. Y'all
Big
are listening,
ratings.
And we appreciate it without boasting
yes.
about the ratings. But
Absolutely.
We're really proud of ourselves, so
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. Staying on the golf topic, mm-hmm. tomorrow, well, tonight, the Open Championship begins at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. And Scottie Scheffler is the man in the world of golf right now. He is always at the top of the leaderboards. He just won another major championship at the PGA Championship in Quail Hollow. And if you follow Scottie Scheffler, if you follow golf, maybe one of the things you don't necessarily like about him is his, quote, electricity. He's not the most flamboyant guy out there. He doesn't do much that really jumps off at you outside of just being a very, very good golfer. Well, he was asked a question yesterday in front of the press room at Royal Portrush about why he wants to be such a good golfer. What does it mean to him to be the number one golfer in the world? Is this something that you always have dreamed of? And you thought probably he was going to give a quick throwaway answer, Sandra. That is not what happened.
15 minutes later, but Drew's not exaggerating. It went a long time. It was really something.
It was incredible. And he went into his faith. He went into his family. He went into his priorities. And we got some cuts that we're going to play for you here. We'll start with this one. Scottie Scheffler talking about his priorities as the most dominant golfer in the world.
I love the challenge. I love being able to play this game for a living. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. But does it fill the deepest, you know, wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not. You know, that's why I talk about families being my priority, because it really is. You know, I'm blessed to be able to come out here and play golf, but if my golf ever started affecting my home life, or it ever affected the relationship I have with my wife or with my son, you know, that's going to be the last day that I play out here for a living. You know, this is not the be-all, end-all. This is not the most important thing in my life, and that's why I wrestle with, why is this so important to me? Because, you know, I would much rather be a great father than I would be a great golfer.
Amazing. I mean, he got really real very fast, and in front of press from all over the world at arguably the most prestigious major championship in all of golf, he says this is not the most important thing to me. And I think a lot of people were taken aback because Scottie Scheffler just usually doesn't go that deep.
I think he's in his feelings, y'all. If you watch this, there would be another question that came up, and he would actually circle back as you're about to hear more and more. So I think something's going on with him where, and you can relate as an athlete, the winning doesn't feel as good. The winning isn't the high.
Right.
And, you know, you see him on the course with his wife and his daughter. He's very religious. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is just something I do. This is not who I am. And I think for a lot of men specifically, and I don't mean that disrespectful to women listening, because I think women already, you've had those kids, like, you. This is what you do. You do multitasking. Men are a lot of times not the multitaskers.
Right.
They are.
You're Zoom
this is
focused.
Especially, we're among football players and athletes. When you have to pivot, you mm-hmm. kind of lose who am I?
You're totally right. You're 100% correct. And in comparison to what Tiger Woods was to the world of golf, where anything and everything he did was focused around golf. And obviously some of those came to a head in a pretty tragic way for his family when things came out about how he operated, trying to manage what the expectations were that he put on himself to maintain being the best golfer in the world. I mean, Scottie Scheffler went so much yesterday as to saying winning is not what it used to be. Here is him on the press conference once again.
No matter what happens, we're always on to the next week. And so that's one of the beautiful things about golf, and it's also one of the frustrating things because you can have such great accomplishments, but, you know, the show goes on, and that's just how it is. You know, it's great to win tournaments. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes the feeling only lasts about 2 minutes, it seems like, you know, when you're celebrating, and then it's like, okay, now you got to go do all this other stuff, and which is great, but, you know, sometimes the feeling of winning only lasts a few seconds, and, you know, it's pretty exciting and fun, but it just doesn't last that long.
To those listening in the car, I would be fascinated to know a comparison that you might have in the business world, maybe in your personal life, to where there was something that you wanted so badly that you had worked towards for so long to accomplish, and once you did, that great feeling only lasted 2 minutes.
I think it's more relatable than a lot of people want to say out loud.
Of course.
What Scottie just said out loud, Drew, you're in the NFL. You're that big star of a Sunday kicking in the NFL, Georgia even, and your father. The wins don't they peak,
yep.
And then the downhill of it is a hard, you know, radio stars, the people that were defined by their anchoring the TV, local, mm-hmm. your president of your Rotary Club, that doesn't matter. I agree with you. It's just a different level of, didn't you come home one day and go, yeah, we won, all right, what's for dinner? Because literally this is what Scottie Scheffler followed up with, like he won the Masters a couple of years. He goes, yeah, and then I was like, hey, what's for dinner?
Exactly. You win the PGA Championship a couple weeks ago at Quail Hollow, and you're back on the road the next week trying to win the next golf tournament. I mean, all that great accomplishment feeling is away because you're straight back to work. And that's why he said he wrestles with why he wants to win, because that's what he does. It's what makes him and his family have such a great lifestyle. But at the end of the day, what's most important to him is being a father, is being a husband. And he went on to say, hey, if this game ever causes me to have a poor relationship at home, that's the day I stop playing professional golf. So Scottie Scheffler holding it down again. The Open Championship starts tonight. I believe coverage 4 a.m. Eastern on USA and Peacock. You know I'll be watching it for sure. Going to be an awesome weekend of major championship golf. What is that? Is that Paul McCartney? Yeah, Paul McCartney. He'll be at State Farm Arena early November. I have never seen Paul McCartney live, Sandra. Have you?
I have not.
Have you listening in your car? Now is your chance.
Y'all, I'm going
to
tell
win
you, right,
some Paul McCartney
do
tickets.
Do you know the tickets are for a get-in price is around $1,500? So when he's telling you we're about to give away a pair of tickets. Woo.
Hey now, what should we have them do in order to win a pair of tickets? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929.
Who didn't Kalen DeBoer talk about on the morning shift that a lot of you guys listening around town really going to like?
There you go. Paul McCartney tickets up for grabs. Who did Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer talk about on the morning shift this morning that resonates with our audience? Dial in right now. Let them know in the back. 404-726-0929 for Paul McCartney tickets. Drew Butler and Sandra Golden, we are live at SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. .1024, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. This is the Steakhouse. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden. And shout out to Jim from Flowery Branch, who just called in and won two tickets to see Paul McCartney at State Farm Arena. That
Jim,
is going to be awesome.
Well done.
Great job, Jim. Way to listen. Call. Way to comprehend. Way to take action and call in and become a winner of two tickets to see Paul McCartney. We got Belly Up coming up in a little bit. Tons of entertaining storylines around and adjacent to the world of sports. I am honored to be able to do Belly Up with the queen of Atlanta sports radio, Sandra Golden, today.
Well, that's awesome. I'm so happy that you're here, and you do know everybody. But I will tell the Florida Gator fans, obviously the Florida Gators are here today. But Danny Werfel.
Yes, my man.
And I'm looking. Danny Werfel's to my left, and Chris Doering is in front of me.
Yep.
They look like they're 25 years old and can go out and play right now.
They look like a Nugenics commercial.
You're right.
In real life, they both do.
Oh, my God.
Doering's got these huge biceps. He looks like he's in a kid's small polo shirt right now. And Danny Werfel looks like a state senator.
Which I'm surprised he's not.
I know.
For real, though.
Danny is the best. He's also with James Gadsby, who helps run Desire Street Ministries alongside Danny, and those are two longtime friends of mine as well. So great to see Danny Werfel, an Atlanta native now, and one of the best guys on planet Earth.
That's exactly right.
And Chris Doering's a great guy, too, so I got to shout out these Florida guys.
Terrific. I worked with Chris a long time at CSS.
He was a TV star from the
just like you. I worked with you for 5 minutes, and like he's a star. So we do have good stuff in Belly Up. Roll it. Pete Alonso's a strange guy.
The polar bear.
The polar bear's a strange fella. I happen to like him. Oh, I'm getting thumbs down from the people, from the crowd here around the radio table. He was asked on Media Day for the All-Star Game, what would you change about baseball? And when I tell you, this is the most brilliant shout out to the NHL thing I've heard. Take a listen.
If there's one rule I could change, so I don't think people should get ejected after charging them out or fighting. So I think it should be hockey style. So no teams, no nothing, because that's when people can like seriously get hurt. So I think there's a rule. If you want to go out and charge them out, then you should be able to. But if the pitcher or hitter or whoever charges, and if they don't want to fight, they take a knee, and then they don't have to fight. But if someone charges the mound, it's 1v1 hockey style, and then that's it.
You know, I've been involved in a lot of locker rooms in my day, and my advice to anybody in a locker room would be, if somebody is actively looking to fight, just stay away from them.
Right.
Pete Alonso is saying, I want to fight more, and I don't think we should be penalized for doing so.
How great, though, if they just it's just the pitcher and it's just the hitter. Like, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. I love it.
Hockey style. Against man.
Sidebar. Brent Rooker the other night was eliminated by a .08 inch against Cal, the dumper.
The big dumper.
After sleeping on it, do you guys agree that he should have maybe put up a little bit more of a fight? $1 million on the line.
Yeah, how do we know this information is accurate?
And he whispered it. He was like, yeah, I didn't know. Maybe it should have been public. I might have been stamping my feet a little bit more about $1 million.
0.08 inches
right?
on a ball that traveled 420-plus feet.
According to who?
I have no idea. TrackMan, exit velo,
right.
Whatever it is.
Right.
I saw a tweet during the Home Run Derby that said, you know, in 2025, the broadcast is about 0.08 inches of a ball that went X miles per hour. And what we grew up with was back, gone.
Yeah, exactly right. Trey Wingo, who I'm not sure if he was let go from ESPN or he left on his own, and that's the truth. Garrett's nodding. Do you think he got let go?
I think it was one of those mutual understandings of a contract ending.
Okay. So, you know, the world of the Twitters and the X's, well, he's responding to this tweet. Kids today don't realize it, but you used to be able to turn on ESPN and not see Stephen A. Smith or Pat McAfee. Those were the glorious times. Now, he quote tweets this, Drew. Let me preface this by saying I have so many wonderful memories and so many great friends still working there that I want to succeed. But he's right. It used to be a glorious buffet where you could pick and choose what you wanted. Now it's like banquet dinners, chicken or fish.
Yikes.
Holy bitter Betty.
Yeah, that is a pretty scathing tweet from Trey Wingo, who I don't believe has really been one to ruffle feathers quite like that. He talks about Pat McAfee and Stephen A. Smith, of course, always being on the airwaves at ESPN, and they should be because ESPN pays them an insane amount of money. But this week in Atlanta, of course, Pat McAfee's show posted up. They were here for the MLB All-Star Game. He was the MC, I want to say, for like a managers and players media session.
Yeah, that's right.
This was at the Roxy right there in the Battery, and Sandra
Sum. It was a pay-to-play. It was like this VIP event that you got to go to with the starting pitcher and the manager, and Pat McAfee was hosting.
Some journalist asks the most outrageous, out of place, insane, deranged question to Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, and Pat McAfee, a talking head and a personality at ESPN, about voting laws and suppression and state government. And let me just say this. I thought it might have been Pat McAfee's finest 40 seconds of his sports media career. He was ultra professional. He diverted attention. He didn't speak on behalf of anyone. I thought he answered it quite literally perfect, Sandra.
He took over and became this Mac Daddy pro.
He really
and
did.
He was protecting Dave from getting into it. He literally asked the reporter or whoever was out there, said, can you just repeat that again? I don't know that we heard you right, which was a great stall for time.
Yeah.
Young journalists out there, always say, could you repeat that? And then it gives you time to think.
Yeah,
or you could, husbands, when your wife says something, you'd be like, you know what? Could you repeat that? I don't think I heard you right. You're welcome, Drew.
Oh, I do.
You're welcome, young Garrett, who's about to be married.
I do need to utilize that one. Yeah, he said, I'm sorry, is this a political question?
He did a great job.
Yeah, he did an awesome job.
I would like him to host. Listen, you're either in the camp of you like him or you don't, and you're not right or wrong. That's the wonderful thing about we all get to have opinions. Yesterday, Steve Sarkisian was the last to speak at the podium. So let me tell you how this goes. Greg Sankey goes up there, waxes poetic about the resume, and builds you up. And then your school fight song comes on. So cue the music, Bo. And then out walks Steve Sarkisian.
Hook 'em horns.
Except that this is Texas A&M's fight song.
What?
It was, okay. Now, I don't know why Kirby Smart had to reset that button in the back and fix this music. So I'm kidding.
That's
obviously
a pretty bad look for the SEC and whoever is running the audio, video, music, visuals down there on the ground. Yeah. But I'm sure they got a little hand slap yesterday after throwing Texas A&M's fight song on while the head coach of Texas football is walking up to the
podium. That's been the biggest hiccup for sure as I pivot to Steve Sarkisian, y'all, on Twitter yesterday, so he led with, and we don't lead with NIL. It's not about money.
Right. Of course.
I'm obviously paraphrasing.
Yes.
But what happens is when the kids call it receipts, pan to the video of Steve walking out to meet the recruits, and they have at least, I want to say half a dozen.
Oh, yeah.
Lamborghinis lined up.
I would say it might have been a dozen.
Yeah. Lined up different colors outside the facility. I get both sides of it. You have to say that, but ooh.
It was definitely a coordinated effort yesterday. Texas getting a big-time recruit right here from the state of Georgia while Texas was in Atlanta, while Georgia was at SEC Media Days. You would have to think that the Dogs and the entire recruiting staff at UGA definitely took notice of that. But, you know, this is the new day and age of college football, and Texas put a couple of notches on the belt yesterday.
Right. And quick pivot to Wyndham Clark had, I like to use the term hissy fit, after his round at Oakmont.
Yeah, Oakmont, a very historical golf club, great clubhouse as well. He went nuts in the locker room and damaged these old, beautiful lockers at the Oakmont clubhouse. And it's been reported, and I can confirm, that Oakmont and the membership has banned Wyndham Clark from being on property until he fulfills a couple of obligations that they have laid out, including anger management, including making a donation to a charity of the board's discretion, and, of course, fixing and paying for the damages he caused.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
I do not recall seeing anything like this. Simply put, if you did this kind of behavior at Augusta National, that's an invitational. You are never welcome back. They control that. Now, when the USGA hosts the next U.S. Open at Oakmont in 2033, Wyndham Clark can qualify for that, and Oakmont will not have the ability to keep him off property that way.
Oh, I was shocked to see
there
it.
You go.
I was shocked. Okay, quick, I want to ask you, if one were to gamble or have a little Calcutta going for this, and what, explain to me that it's a Lynx course?
It is. It's in Northern Ireland. This is Lynx golf, so you're going to want to keep the golf ball lower flighted. A lot of times you're able to run the ball up onto the putting surface as well. You'll see the mounds, higher rough. It's on the coastline. Going to be spectacular to watch on TV. I like two Georgia Bulldogs in the field this week.
Oh.
I like my buddy Harris English, who played great in Scotland last week at the Scottish Open, and I like Russell Henley. Russell has been playing some spectacular golf lately.
Okay.
Watch out for those two guys. And, of course, your usual suspects at the top of every leaderboard, your Scotty Schefflers, your Rory McIlroy. Shane Lowry won here in 2019. He's an Irishman as well. So going to be a phenomenal weekend of golf at the Open Championship at Royal Portrush.
And as we head to break, get ready, SEC fans, because there's a new theme song. SEC on ABC this fall. It is Bailey Zimmerman and Luke Combs. It's called The Backup Plan. It's really good. It's a if you like country music, I like it a lot. It gives you a little chill bump moment. So
I can't wait.
We'll hear that going to break, and we'll do three strikes and all that fun stuff.
College football, it is within reaching distance. I cannot wait. Neither can Sandra. I know you can't either. In your car. We're having fun on a Wednesday at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days. This is the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden. This is the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wrapping things up here at SEC Media Days. Mississippi State about to take the podium. Alabama has already held court. Florida and Oklahoma later on this afternoon. Sandra, Oklahoma, a team in the SEC that some folks need to watch out for. John Matera, a transfer quarterback from Washington State. He put up huge numbers last year. Dual threat. He had 29 passing touchdowns, 14 rushing touchdowns. Of course, he brings that talent to the SEC. And they also have Jaden Ott, who was a thumper of a running back from Cal. He's now at Oklahoma. So Brent Venables loading up on the talent in Norman. We'll see how they can perform. They'll get a bunch of questions this afternoon, along with Billy Napier, DJ Lagway in Florida.
So Jordan Rogers, and who I believe we're getting tomorrow, you guys. I'll be here with Squid Billy in the morning. We're getting Greg Sankey at 10:20, and then Jordan Rogers at some point. Greg McIlroy and Jordan Rogers were doing a show yesterday afternoon. Top five quarterbacks, obviously, Arch Manning.
Is he, though? Is he top five?
Well, that's what I'm about
five?
To tell you. Okay. Jordan Rogers has him at five, okay. And he has John Matera at two.
Wow.
Greg had John Matera at one.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, see, I was actually on a show yesterday, and they were asking about, well, Matera, and he's going to the SEC. I said, guys, I don't necessarily care where he did what he did a year ago, because he did it.
Yeah,
he's had that experience, the in-game situational football, which matters so much in the SEC, how to manage third downs, pre-snap, you know, managing some of these atmospheres will be tougher for them. But when you're talking about end-of-half, end-of-game situations, getting people into the right positions before the ball is snapped, that's the experience that he does have. And I would have to agree, I think Matera is one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC heading into the season.
I'm going to pose to you this question because I was interviewed yesterday. In the SEC, what is the team that we're not talking about that we should be that's going to be better than you think?
I'll say this. South Carolina, to me, I know they lost a lot on defense. Lenoris Sellers is the real deal. He is a quarterback that can simply take over football games. And Dylan Stewart, edge rusher, is elite. Simple as that. Towards the end of all last season, South Carolina had the outside-looking-in chance of getting into the college football playoff. And I was one saying, man, if they get in, watch out for this team. Of course, they didn't. But I think South Carolina is one of the teams that maybe some people are overlooking. And then Missouri would be one, too, that a lot of people are talking about. But Bo Prabula, their transfer quarterback, he just hasn't had that much experience either. It is a fascinating situation heading into this season in the SEC because some of your more blue-chip programs, so to speak, just don't have a lot of familiarity with their quarterback position, led by, of course, Georgia with Gunnar Stockton, Alabama with Ty Simpson, and I'll throw Texas into that mix with Arch Manning.
So Eli Drinkwitz said this is the most talented team he's had at Missouri. My answer was Missouri.
Okay.
And I also am a big fan of South Carolina and Shane Beamer and Lenoris. I don't know why everybody rips on South Carolina, but, yeah, I think that's
it. It just seems like Coach Beamer is easy for people to maybe punch down at. I don't understand either. But for whatever reason, he just attracts that kind of conversation around him. And Florida. If Florida stays healthy, I'm telling you, they're going to knock off some people throughout the season. And I'm not just saying that because I have an immense amount of respect for Danny Werfel.
So Andy and Randy are here. They'll get you through the afternoon. Tomorrow coming up, it's Missouri, as we mentioned, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Texas A&M to round out the four-day festivities.
All right.
For sure. John Foy, thanks so much for our game of the night, which is, y'all, we haven't even talked about it. Atlanta United is playing tonight with the Chicago Fire. Pivot. The Atlanta United folks reached out to the SEC media people and
Correct.
Said free entry.
Yeah.
You have to
tickets,
apply.
You
have to.
Back.
You can't just like show up. But yeah, there's an email and whoever's in charge here. I thought that was such a nice gesture because there's so many people here.
Yeah.
Thousands of people here that can go tonight.
Yeah. And they've had nothing to do. Beyonce, Home Run Derby,
yeah.
All-Star Game, everything that the city of Atlanta has to offer. Now they can head down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to watch Atlanta United take on Chicago Fire, who Abe Gordon told me the Chicago Fire are the Eastern Division or the Eastern Conference highest scoring team in Major League Soccer. I will say this, though. Outside of MLS action tonight, these next two nights, I mean, this is the most dead period of the sports calendar.
And, ESPYs are
the
tonight.
The ESPYs are tonight. Does anybody care about the ESPYs? That could be a three strikes question for sure.
So the word on the street during the All-Star game, a bunch of folks had to get on planes and showers to get back to LA
gotcha.
For the ESPYs tonight. Shane Gillis
yes.
is hosting.
Phenomenal. I'm a huge Shane Gillis fan. Jackie and I saw him at SNL back in March for our 11-year anniversary. He's either your cup of tea or he's not. He's got a very popular show on Netflix called Tires.
Yeah.
He's also a regular on the Kill Tony podcast, which I'm a huge fan of. He's got his own podcast. Shane Gillis is hilarious. He is going to roast the entire audience tonight, which will be awesome. He's got no fear. So I'll tune in for that, and as soon as he's done with his monologue, I'll tune right out.
He was on ESPN, and they were saying, how's it going and all that, and he goes, well, I've never been in a position where I have writers write for me. So he gave a couple jokes that they've given him, and he was like, yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm not doing that.
Really?
So I think he's going to go
rogue. Probably because they weren't good.
He told me. Yeah. He said on that podcast you're talking about that he went rogue on SNL, and they were not happy with him. And
good,
he said
it was hilarious.
Okay,
everybody
he said
loved
it bombed. He said he thought he
no.
bombed. Okay, that's interesting.
Well, Jackie and I, two kids from the South,
yeah.
sitting there. I mean, I was laughing
yeah.
out loud. That
right.
was hilarious. That is certainly my cup of tea. I mean, humor and comedy in mind is everything is on the table. It's comedy for a reason.
Right.
There's no question about it. So I'm also seeing on social media the ESPYs have some golf tournament out in L.A. I got
to
figure out how to,
ooh, how
finagle
to get on
my
there.
Way into those festivities.
Totally
sure.
agree. Hey, also, you guys heading around town and speeding around town, you might have noticed more Georgia Highway Patrol.
They're everywhere.
So this is started on Monday. It's called Operation Slowdown. They have five times the amount of Georgia troopers on the roads for speeding. So just slow down. Give yourself a big old deep breath and slow down. Because, you know, I'm driving back and forth the lake. You're going way up to Johns Creek, too, right?
Yeah, I
so
am.
Be
I'll
careful.
Be cruising up
Y'all
141
slow down.
Heading to Johns Creek.
That's true.
I think that's a great way to tee up our three strikes questions.
Yes.
What do
okay.
you think?
404-726-0929. First up, I'm going to word it properly. Worst you've ever lost your temper. We're talking about Wyndham Clark just lost it and unloaded on those lockers. May they rest in peace
yes.
at Oakmont. So what was the situation? You lost your temper the worst, and maybe what did you do?
And I'll tell you this, too. I had a friend that just played Oakmont last week. He took a picture in the locker room. They're still damaged. They have not fixed them.
Is that right?
The lockers are still completely damaged inside Oakmont's locker room.
That's funny to me. Sorry.
Yes,
I know
yes.
you golf snobs don't like it. I think it's hilarious. The fastest you've ever been ticketed for speeding.
Uh-oh.
And tell us
ticketed.
Your situation. By the way, Mike Bell, feel free to call in because you probably got one this morning, and you'll tell us the situation. And then the SEC team that you think we're not talking about enough that's going to be good and kind of bring some juice with it, like why? Why we should be talking about them more. So do you like those questions?
I
feel
love
free
those
to edit,
questions.
Get rid of them.
The worst you have ever lost your temper.
Uh-huh.
The fastest you have ever been ticketed.
For speeding.
For
yeah.
speeding.
Yeah.
And
not
then,
that, and you're probably, if you were going 110, they ticketed you for 90.
Right.
One of those, maybe,
right.
if you're kind. And the SEC team that's under the radar, we maybe need to be talking about more, that you think is going to maybe have more wins than projected. Just give us your little, you know, wherewithal. So there you go. 404-726-0929. Drew is putting it on the Twitters right now. Call in. So that stake is in Barcelona. And I can say, dude, we had full phone lines. So stay there as long as you want. I'm kidding. We just like to have full phone lines. And this is fun, right? 404-726-0929. Roll it.
You know, worst I've ever lost my temper, last night at about 3 a.m., my 7-year-old daughter Bridget, who I love dearly, she just couldn't go to sleep, Sandra. I got to go potty. I don't want to sleep. I'm scared. And, you know, at 3 a.m., all bets are off.
Right, right.
So I try not to lose my temper, and I'm not the best at that. I don't get, like, overly... I don't know. If Jackie called in, she'd certainly disagree, but those are tough moments.
So what do you do? Do you just shut the – do you be like, you got to go to sleep?
Head on pillow. We got to go to sleep.
Yeah,
need the sleep.
Yes, yes.
Your sister, everybody needs the sleep.
We all need the sleep, my dear.
Yes.
I'm not a good sleeper. I mean, I'm up at 3 in the morning last night watching an episode of Modern Family.
Really?
I'm the worst.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Bridget is the best, so we love her, and we love when she sleeps.
That's good. You know what? Something else we didn't talk about is Caitlin Clark.
Oh, my
y'all,
gosh.
Y'all, she left last night's game again with that groin injury. It seems like it just won't heal because every game she's getting hurt.
Have you ever seen a league hate their star more? It does not make sense to me.
Y'all, she went off on a ref last night, and if you're a lip reader, it was a brilliant thing to watch. And people lose their minds over that. But, I mean, why don't you do it when men do that? Unload on the – why it's different watching a female? What do you think that's coming from?
I think it's so blatant, like the on-court fouls that don't get called. If you're just, you know, quote-unquote ball knower or even a casual basketball fan who tunes in when you see Caitlin Clark's playing, that's a foul. That's a foul. They're hacking her. That's a foul. How is that not called a foul? It's just shocking to me because she is, without a doubt,
right,
the face of the WNBA, and they treat her like she's a grunt. It's kind of tough to see, honestly.
I'm about to say something shocking.
Please.
Can you think of another athlete that has been the biggest change immediately for their sport other than Tiger Woods?
Oh.
Says, because Caitlin did for WNBA.
I would say... You know, since we're here at SEC Media Days, I'll throw one out at you. Johnny Manziel polarized SEC football. You were tuning in to see what he did because oftentimes throughout the week leading up to a game, there was a lot of talk about what Johnny Manziel had been up to off the field. So you wanted to see how he responded and how he performed for those 60 minutes in between the lines. I think Johnny Manziel is a decent one in terms of what is going on. And then I'll throw another one out. I was younger at the time, but I actually just watched this episode of 30 for 30, The Last Dance. Man, what Dennis Rodman did, leaving the team, jumping back in, mixing things up. Dennis Rodman was incredible as far as captivating the audience during a season. We got Brandon in Kennesaw on 3 strikes. Brandon, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate the time. First time doing 3 strikes.
All right. Welcome. What's the worst you've ever lost your temper?
I had to think about this one, but probably like 10, 12 years ago, I was training to be a server at a California pizza kitchen, and I forget what I got in trouble for, but both the managers pulled me into office and said, you know, like, this is your fault. Dude, I don't know what was in me, but I just blew up. I said, F you and F that.
Whoa, F all these efforts.
And then this was during the dinner shift, the dinner rush. And, you know, I was walking out, giving everyone the bird. People looked at me and like, this sucks, all this. It was pretty crazy. I don't know what was going on.
Somebody ordered the 150th barbecue chicken pizza that night.
They can't take it. He went on Wyndham Clark on
it.
What happened?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. That was pretty legendary, man. People kept talking about it for years, I swear.
There you go. What's the fastest you've ever been ticketed for speeding?
Well, 158. I also got arrested. That was more than a ticket. I got ticketed and arrested on a motorcycle. But this was back when I was like 19. I was crazy back then.
Did you just say 158 miles per hour?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. On a Ninja 600. Let's go.
And he got arrested. So you went to jail.
Yeah, I got arrested.
85? Yeah, what road were you on?
Oh, no, this was back in Texas on I-10.
Hey, now, jeepers. 158, I think you win. That might be obvious.
Yeah. I used to do wheelies at 130. That's neither here nor there.
Oh, my God, Brandon, I'm worried about you.
Okay.
many decades ago, many moons ago.
What's the SEC football team we're not talking about enough for the upcoming 2025 season?
Oh, dang, brother. I thought it was just an SEC team in general thing. I didn't realize it was football. I'm so sorry. I'm messing up a 3 strikes. I was going to say Georgia Bulldogs because for the basketball team just because you have so much talent.
All right.
So sorry. I ruined the 3 strikes.
No, not
Stakes,
at all.
Stakes not here. No one's going to yell at you. You can do whatever you want. Me and Drew let you get away with it. Thanks, Brandon.
No doubt, guys. I appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
Drive the speed limit, 7 to 9 miles per hour over to the post.
Andy's angry. An angry guy behind it. Good for
him. Jeez
almighty.
Yeah.
Great show, Drew. Thank you so much.
So much fun, Sandra.
We should do this more.
Always an honor being able to sit next to you. A blast here at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days. The Steakhouse will be back tomorrow. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey sitting down with Sandra. And who are you here with?
Bo Squidbilly. So there you go. Thanks to Joe Patrick and Bo back at the house. Thanks, you guys.
Absolutely. Everybody have an awesome Wednesday. Appreciate you tuning in. Andy and Randy up next. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.